Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this opportunity to hear from you. And Lord, this morning we pray that you may open our eyes, you may open our minds, you may open our intelligence, and that you may soften our hearts so that we may be ready to receive the word that you are about to again speak to us this morning. Lord, I pray for myself. I pray that once again, Lord, you may take control of this moment, that the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart may be holy and acceptable to you. Speak to us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We may be seated. Good morning. How are we doing? All right. Our reading for today is in Luke chapter 24 from 36 to 49. And I'm going to read in the ESV version. Luke 24, 36. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." I'm reading in the ESV version. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophet and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their mind to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is the word of God. It is such a privilege and an honor to again share the word of God with you this morning. And let me be honest with you. When I was told that I'd be sharing the word of God this Sunday, my first reaction was to run to Google. I opened Google and I started searching. That's a typical millennial reaction. We run to Google for everything. Dating advices, assignments, coursework, everything. And sometimes you ask some weird question to Google. You're like, "How do I find a good spouse?" You know. So basically we run to Google for almost everything these days. But it sounds funny, but as I was typing my keywords in Google, I landed on a very interesting image that gave me a clue on how I could approach our topic for today. And our topic for today is "Peace be with you." And the image is about to be shown on the screens. Yeah, you can look at it. Yes, next slide. Well, the image is the poster that was used last year on the International Peace Day. That was on 21st September. And what intrigued me on the image is the tagline below the Day of Peace banner. It is written, "Peace begins with who?" With you. Peace begins with you. And I'm wondering how many of us agree with that statement, that peace begins with you. By a show of hand. Okay, I see some people who agree that peace begins with us. So that means peace begins with me. And so I did a little introspection. I analyzed myself and I was like, okay, does peace really begin with me? Because as I was thinking about myself as like, how can peace begin with me when most of the time when I look at myself, I see my own limitations and I see my own imperfection, my fears, my frustrations, my insecurities. And then I moved beyond myself and looked at my parents and a lot of parents in this city. And I was like, maybe peace begin with them. But I see, when I observe my parents, I see them sometimes thinking a lot, spending sleepless nights thinking about how do we raise our children in one of the deadliest places on planet Earth. According to a report that I recently read, this country is one of the deadliest places in the world. So I was like, peace cannot certainly begin with them as well, because they also go through many things, through many challenges. And so I even looked back at my professional career. I remember some places where I was working, and one of the evaluation questions that they used to ask us was, does your supervisor feel you? And that's a very strange question, because at that moment you're like, do I just go straight to them and be like, boss, do you feel me? You know, it's kind of weird, because those are some of the things that bring stress into our lives. And anxiety is everywhere. We are in the age of anxiety. People are anxious about life, about economy, about many things that are happening around us. And I remember how it used to feel when you are almost reaching the end of a job contract and you have no idea if that job contract is going to be renewed. Again, your peace is gone at that moment. So can peace really begin with us? I'm not sure. Another thing is, just turn on the news and you will see for yourself that there are some pretty bad stuff happening, not only here in the DRC, but all around the world. So there are so many other examples that I could give, but I'm going to stop there. And the Christian worldview gives us a frame through which we can understand all these facts. I like how this particular author put it. He said in one of his books, there's a quote that I'm going to read, next slide. He says, God's plan is predicated on shalom. Shalom is the Hebrew word for peace. The intended state of peace and wholeness that all of God's creation is meant to experience. An active presence of what is right, true, nourishing, joyful, and the like. So when we see injustice, violence in the world, we see that things are not as they ought to be. That was not God's intention. Put it another way, injustice and sin tear the fabric of shalom. And shalom is the all-encompassing desire of God for peace and goodness throughout His creation. And so, because of the brokenness of our world, God's intention is not what we see around us. So that's it, brothers and sisters. If peace can simply be defined as inner tranquility, can it really start with us as human beings? Can peace really start with us? I'm not quite sure. So in the verses that we just read, we find the disciples of Jesus in a not so peaceful context either, because two of them have just met the risen Christ on their way to Emmaus. And in verse 36 of Luke 24, we found them back in Jerusalem, telling the other about what has just happened. So they are telling them, we met Jesus as we were going to Emmaus. Now, as I was studying this text, I placed myself in the disciples' shoes, and I imagine what they must have been feeling at that moment. Because my creative mind, I was like, the feeling that they had was the one we had when we finished watching the Avenger Infinity War movie. Because if you've never watched that movie, you don't need to go watch it. Because my point is simply this. My point is that that movie is so disappointing at the end. Because in every heroes and villains movie, you expect the heroes to win at the end, right? But it didn't happen in this movie. It didn't happen. The villain won. He won, and adding on top of that, with one snap of his finger, he killed half the population in the universe. And so the only word that could describe the apostle's feeling at this moment was disappointment. That's what we felt after that movie. They were disappointed because for more than three years, they've been walking with Jesus and they felt like they were in the winner's team, right? They were in the winner's team because they were seeing Jesus performing miracles and they were like, yeah, we are in the winner's team. And on Friday, Jesus was crucified and he died. That was not how they were expecting the King of the Jews to end up. And so I feel like they had some kind of mixed feelings at this moment. And so their two friends are telling them about Jesus who appeared to them on their way to Emmaus. And so they are discussing. And right in the middle of their discussion, Jesus appears to them, like to end the discussion. And he's like, peace be with you. Now this was a simple Jewish greeting, shalom, peace be with you. But in the mouth of a risen Christ, this was a game changer. Because when you understand this thing, you understand that peace begins with a personal encounter with the risen Christ, you will understand that it has some big implication in our lives. Because this was not only a greeting, this was a game changer. And Jesus is our real peace. Jesus is our peace. And when we have our eyes open to this beautiful reality, it has some tremendous implication over our lives, as we are going to see it in the next verses. But before I even share some of this implication, I want to share a quote that I read somewhere, and I found it very fitting for our message this morning. The quote says, if you look at the world, next slide, I think, yes. If you look at the world, you will be distressed. If you look within, you will be depressed. If you look at God, you will be at rest. And so the disciples were troubled, but Jesus calmed them. He was like, hey, peace be with you. It is I. I'm appearing again. And what do you see when you look at God? What do you see when you look at the risen Christ? What you see is his scars. You see his scars. You see his scars. And that's what he told his disciple. Look at my hands. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. He showed them his hands and his feet. He showed them his scars. He showed them that your circumstances don't have to define you, because he sympathized with what we are going through. He understands. He suffered. He was tortured. And yet, he came out as a winner. And so you understand that whatever you are going through in life, it could be the challenges that I was talking about in my introduction. Jesus is there to show us that he knows what it feels like to be tensed, to have mixed feeling about what is going to happen. And yet, he overcame. And so, look at my hand, look at my feet, he told his disciple. These scars are here to remind you that I understand what you are going through, even what you might go through. Is death your biggest fear? Look at my body. It's real flesh and blood. Death has no hold on me. Why don't you give me something to eat? Because he asked them for food, just to prove them that this was real body. Give me some food. I haven't taken everything for 28 hours. That was not in the Bible. It's just my imagination. So are you anxious? Are you troubled? Are you distressed? Are you depressed? Look at Jesus' scars. Look at the risen Christ. And remember that he knows what he feels like. He even died, and yet he overcame. And so do we. Amen? So do we. Isaiah 53 says, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. So, brothers and sisters, Jesus is alive. Amen? Jesus is alive. And because he is alive, we can come back, or we can be healed from anything that this world can throw at us. the deepest kind of sin, the rejection of a job loss, the pain of bereavement, the hammer of betrayal, war, sickness, guilt, shame, anger, bitterness, even death does not have the last word, because our Savior is alive. And even moreover, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. Amen? Amen. So the next implication that we are going to see from our reading this morning is that it is only after having a personal encounter with the risen Christ that you will realize by the power of His Spirit that everything written in the Bible is about Him. From Genesis to Revelation, Jesus is God's endgame to break down the ravages of sin and death. Amen. So in Him, we can overcome as well. And everything written in here is about Him, is about the risen Christ. The last implication that we can see from this text is that we are called to be messengers of the peace that we received from Him. And this one I found in the verses, the last verses of our reading. He said, verse 48, "You are witnesses of these things." You are witnesses of these things. Now, the word witnesses is the same word that he used in Acts chapter 1, where he said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria." And so, we are messengers. We are called to be messengers of the peace that we received from him. And I love how the Apostle Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 18 and 19. And I'm going to read that for us. He said, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation." Now, all the peace workers in the world know that we can't talk peace without what? Without reconciliation. Peace starts with reconciliation. And it's the same thing with God. He first reconciled us with himself through Christ. And the Bible says that he entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. So we are messengers of this peace. We are called to be messengers of this peace that we received from him. And so as you are going through the week after this Sunday, one of the main questions you need to ask yourself every day is, how can I be a messenger of God's peace? How can I be a messenger of the peace that I received from God in my family, at my workplace, or wherever you will find yourself? Because that's a key question that we always need to ask ourselves. And so I've said many things this morning, but the key message that I want us to keep in mind from our message this morning is simply that peace begins with Jesus. And because he lives, we can confidently say to each other, "Peace be with you." May the Lord bless his word.